From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a shot mandate pause, HHS rolls back religious liberty protections, and Build Back Better boosts debt by billions. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Wednesday of this week, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins was joined by Senator Steve Daines of Montana to talk about what Senate Republicans are doing to stop President Biden's shot mandate, even while the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals prepares to hear lawsuits brought against the administration over the mandate. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Senator, welcome back to the program.
Glad to join you, Tony.
All right, give us the latest on this. All 50 Republican senators, that's news in and of itself that they're all in agreement.
I tell you what, to get all 50 of us on the same page is a great accomplishment. We're standing firm because we formally filed a challenge to this top-down mandate. You know, for everything we're doing here, we're trying to help these small businesses keep their doors open, allowing people to get back to work. I hear more about this vaccine mandate at the moment probably than any other issue. The concerns that so many Americans have, and in my case, Montanans have, about what this will do to small businesses to shutter doors and force workers out. This is really, in many ways, Washington, D.C. overreach at its very worst. I think it's unconstitutional. I think it's unlawful. And the good news is we've got 50 Republicans standing firm that will require a vote. So what this does, Tony, the way the act works is it actually forces a vote. It's a simple 51 vote threshold to get this done.
So what's the time frame here? How will this play out? And what are the prospects that it could succeed?
Yeah, well, what we're going to need here is just one Democrat to support this. I'm hoping there'll be one brave Democrat that could join 50 Republicans, a Democrat that's listening to the people they serve back home who are saying this mandate is overreach. It's going to hurt our businesses. It's going to hurt families. It's going to create job loss. And so I think we're looking at something here. We want to get this done sometime in December would be our goal. And I think that's reasonable because this is a very urgent issue. We've got to get this done here before this mandate is put in place. Now, and I want to be clear, Tony, I support the vaccine. I've had the vaccine. My wife's had the vaccine. I'm not opposed to the vaccine, but that should be a choice right. that you make between yourself and your healthcare advisor. I'm just opposed strongly to these mandates.
Right. I agree. I've said on this program many times, not against the vaccine. If you want to get the vaccine or you're in a high risk health category, I recommend that you do get it. Talk to your health care provider. But I do not think the government should be telling you what vaccines you should get and when you should get them. On a related note to this, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday won the lottery to hear the legal challenges to this a mandate on private businesses. So now it'll be up to the Sixth Circuit to decide whether to lift the stay that the Fifth Circuit put in place last Friday. And the Sixth Circuit's pretty conservative as well. How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tony, it's moments like this. And we predicted this when President Trump was in office, of how important it was to have good judges on the bench. And one of President Trump's greatest accomplishments was working with the Republican Senate to put these circuit court judges on the bench. These are lifetime appointments. Of course, we've got the three Supreme Court justices, but the circuit courts, as you talked about in the Sixth Circuit, this is going to be a very important ruling. Thank God for Trump-appointed judges. In the Fifth Circuit, it was two Trump judges and a Reagan judge. And so this is why judges really matter. We always worry. If the other side got control of Washington, D.C., how do we stop their tyranny? It's through the courts. And thank God for these good judges we have across many of our circuit courts.
Yeah, I want to pause on that for just a moment because so often we can just pass right over that. But you were so right. you know, 10 years ago, we would have never been looking to the courts for any type of relief. They were usually sticking it to us because they were activist judges. But Donald Trump made the appointments, and I would say Mitch McConnell and the other Republicans in the Senate helped shepherd those through. But I will say this is a great accomplishment for Mitch McConnell, who helped work this through the process, and of course the quality individuals that the Trump administration picked. But I don't,
Tony, just on that point too. You know, we can make a good law or a bad law that can be changed in a future Congress. These judges are appointments for life. In many ways, it's perhaps the single most important vote you cast as a United States senator are these votes for judges.
Yeah, so true. And this moment where we're actually our freedom, because this mandate, it's not going to stop here with this mandate. If government feels like they can do it now, there's going to be something else in the future that they'll try to force on the American people. So having judges who are constitutionalist, who are originalist, who will look at the Constitution and simply interpret what it says and the boundaries that it created for government and interpret the actions based upon that, that gives us hope that we can then work our way back to changing those who are making these policies so that we don't have to face this again.
Couldn't agree more. And you mentioned earlier in the program, Tony, about that Dobbs case. Speaking of judges, the fact that we have a United States Supreme Court now, thanks to President Trump and Republican senators, where the president got to appoint three new justices, we have an opportunity before us to overturn Roe v. Wade, to reverse a provision that's accounted for some 62 million babies being aborted.
That's huge. I mean, this is, we're nearly 50 years into this, 48 years, 50 years into this, we could be at the moment to see this reversed, and it goes back, as you said, to judges. But I will say this, additionally, I think we got to the point of being able to appoint judges because we had pro-lifers involved politically who elected men and women like you to Congress. You're the chairman of the Senate Pro-Life Life Committee. We've got men and women in state legislatures across the country because men and women of faith got involved. And so this is one of those moments where we shouldn't allow the bad stuff to discourage us from the involvement and the engagement that we've had.
Tony, couldn't agree more. And something that I advise men and women who are running for office on the issue of life is lean into it, embrace it, stand for life, stand for those who can't stand for themselves, articulate it in a winsome and persuasive way. It's a winning issue for us, Tony, and I just want to keep telling those who are running for office as conservatives, don't go hide on the issue of life. Get out there in front of it, articulate it well, and as you've seen, pro-life is a winning issue for us in this country.
It is, because we've been standing up and defending it. Senator, before we run out of time, I want to shift gears for just a moment, Senator Daines, to the issue of the National Defense Authorization Act. The Senate has turned its attention to that, about 1,000 amendments waiting out there. You've got some concerns about the National Defense Authorization Act. You've also got some amendments that I think you're going to be offering as well.
I do, Tony. And let me just, since we're talking about the Defense Authorization Act, thank you for your service to the United States Marine Corps, having had Veterans Day last week, and my father's a Marine as well. But we have the greatest military in the world, and many women proudly choose to serve, but we should not, and we don't need to force our daughters, sisters, our wives to fight in the name of, quote, equality. That's why I oppose allowing or mandating that women are part of the draft. So we're reviewing the bill. We're going to introduce several amendments to make it better, including an amendment that would strike the language requiring women to enter the draft. I think it's a really bad idea for our country.
I agree. I've served alongside of women and thankful that they want to serve. In fact, I haven't talked to my own daughters. I've got three daughters. And if they want to serve, I encourage them to do that. But to force them is another story. And I think we've never done that in the 100 years of our, since we had a draft 100 years ago. It's now been kind of shelved for the last 50. But just the registration process that's been in place for 100 years, to force women to participate in that against their will, I just don't think it speaks good for our nation.
No, I don't either, Tony. And I'm in a similar boat. You have three daughters. We have two daughters. We have two sons. And we now have a new granddaughter as well. If any of them decided they wanted to volunteer to serve, I'd be so honored and would encourage them to do so if they want to do that. But that's a very different discussion than to think that the federal government then would start drafting right. women, forcing conscription. That, I think, is something we do not want to do as a country.
I think you're right. Absolutely right, Senator Steve Daines. Always great to talk with you. We're going to be watching that. It's going to take a while for you to work through those 1,000 amendments, but we'll be tracking it very closely. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Tony.
You can find out more about Senator Daines, as well as links for our resources to help you engage your own representatives on these issues when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
With the current division and confusion of our culture, it is so important for Christians to root ourselves in the truth of God's Word so that we are prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. For this purpose, Family Research Council launched the Center for Biblical Worldview. The center applies the Bible and the historical teachings of the church to current issues. This helps Christians understand and live by a biblical worldview, know why Scripture must be authoritative, and equips believers to advance and defend the faith in workplaces, schools, communities, and the public square. The experts at the center address and provide resources on issues like religious liberty, abortion, voting, marriage, and sexuality. To access free resources like the Biblical Worldview series, go to frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work of the Worldview Fellows, including blogs, interviews, and publications, sign up at frc.org/subscriptions. Are you struggling to spend consistent time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. FRC's 2-year Bible reading plan helps you to approach daily Bible reading with an intentional focus of diving deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into cultural issues. By studying the Bible, we can see the grandeur of God unfold throughout the past. The Stand on the Word reading plan takes you through daily scripture in an engaging manner to help you stay grounded in God's truth. All wisdom comes from God, and He has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. Start this adventure today with Family Research Council. When you sign up, we'll text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Mere minutes after receiving word on the actual cost of President Biden's Build Back Better program, Representative Kevin Brady of Texas joined Tony to talk about just a couple of provisions of the bill that make it a terrible bill. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins with more.
Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me. And yeah, we just got the Congressional Budget Office score just a few minutes ago.
Well, don't keep me in suspense. What's it look like?
Did anyone really think it would pay for itself? The short answer, of course not. It is at least $300 billion short. And that's even counting the budget gimmicks that's in here. So their best effort, of course, this is going to increase the national deficit quite a bit. But as you know, the true cost of this bill over a decade is closer to $4.5 trillion. And I think by many estimates, this will increase the national debt by almost 25% and drive down the economy as well. And that's giving them the benefit of the doubt of all the budget gimmicks. So, yeah, the president's claim that this costs zero is simply wrong.
Well, they've been preparing for this, basically being dismissive of the CBO's numbers and their ability to score, saying they're not able to factor in what we're going to bring in by tracking down the tax cheats, which is, very convenient. But let me ask you another question on this. Given these numbers, given the size of this, given the concerns about inflation, how's this going to help us when it comes to inflation?
You know, it won't. In fact, it'll make it worse. A couple reasons. We already know from even the White House's favorite economic forecaster that when you put the infrastructure bill, the $2 trillion of spending for COVID earlier this year, and then this bill together, that over the next decade, we'll see on average about 2% higher consumer prices for Americans. So you ought to brace for inflation for quite a while. And it's pretty simple. When you're sending out trillions of dollars in the economy, but actually paying workers not to reconnect to their job, in this case, independent estimates show about 2 million more workers will exit the workforce because of this spending in here. You know, you've got a recipe for not just high inflation, but very persistent inflation. And that is what I think has got most families and a lot of our small businesses very, very worried.
Well, let's take one specific example of how this works, because this is basic. I'm not an economist. I took economics in college, and so it's pretty basic stuff, supply and demand. You put more money in, you have less product, you're going to drive up the prices. But let me ask you this question. You've been around a while. How many services or products or things of that nature has the government subsidized and the price come down on?
Oh, gosh. The government subsidizes an awful lot, and we saw this during COVID, where all this spending, a lot of it at the beginning especially was done fairly blindly. It was pushing money out the door because we didn't know, you know, how much we had to rescue this economy and get a handle on the healthcare. But as that cleared up, Washington just kept spending money and sending it down. That's why we saw, you know, an average family of four where both parents lost their jobs, we sent them government checks of over $109,000. And even families without either worker being damaged at all, we were sending them $26,000. But we were doing the same for businesses, governments, others, again, all driving up inflation in a major way. And don't take my word for it. The Federal Reserve of San Francisco, not exactly a conservative organization, identifies that type of spending as the reason we've got much higher inflation. In fact, for this year, Tony, since President Biden raised his hand, took the oath, inflation's on a 40-year high and doesn't seem to be abating at all.
Well, you're not going to see it abate if you are continuing to put trillions of dollars into the economy. Before we run out of time, I want to switch to this toddler tax that's a part of this bill. I think this is an example where the government gets involved. It drives up the cost of services like this.
Yeah, the way it works is that in this bill, they drive wages up, they subsidize wages for childcare workers, and with regulations drive up the cost, but they only subsidize a few families. So if you're a family of two teachers making $65,000 a year, by liberal estimates, they believe your childcare costs will go up by $13,000 a year. So add $1,000 a month to the cost of childcare. But here's what's worse for pro-life, pro-family conservatives and religious freedom. They are banning faith-based child care facilities from participating here. They go out of their way to make sure that a single mom who's got child care at the local church a block away will have to drive miles and miles away from work and away from home to get this government-directed health care. It is a direct challenge on religious freedom. And this is, you know, forever, Tony, frankly, the government by law has said, look, child care facilities run by faith-based organizations benefit the parent, not the provider. And they've always been allowed about half of the child care in America is provided this way. So this is a direct attack on faith-based child care organizations.
And Congressman Brader, almost out of time here, but the effect of giving the money, but only to be used for non-faith-based, the ultimate outcome is it crowds out the faith-based entities because they won't have any parents to serve, because most of them are going to be attracted to where the government money is.
Yeah, that is exactly right. It strangles the faith-based child care, which for many of us has been such an important part of child care. My wife, thankfully, was able to stay home, you know, as we raised our children, but our neighbors and friends who use a lot of our local care, yeah, they're going to be squeezed in big ways. And ultimately, It's going to make it harder for our faith-based groups to survive.
Congressman Kevin Brady, always great to talk with you, and we'll be following these developments very closely and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Take care, Tony.
You can find out more about Representative Brady, as well as information on the Build Back Better bill, when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
What is religious liberty and why should you care about it? Simply put, religious liberty is the freedom to choose your religious beliefs and to live according to those beliefs. Why should we care about this freedom? At Findlay Research Council, we care about religious freedom because we believe that it is an inherent human right that all governments have an obligation to protect. Tragically, not all governments do. Religious persecution is a tragic reality around the world that is not often acknowledged by the media, even though attacks on people of all faiths continue to increase globally. In Scripture, God calls Christians to pray and care for the persecuted church, the downtrodden, and those who cannot help themselves. Therefore, we must be advocates for those persecuted for their faith. To access Family Research Council's latest resources and to learn more about religious freedom and what you can do to help the persecuted, go to frc.org/religious liberty.
At Family Research Council, it is important to us that we stay connected with you and that you stay informed. With the increase in tech censorship of conservatives and Christians, we've decided to be proactive to make sure we don't go completely dark due to censorship. That is why we've created a tech subscription platform. If we get canceled, you can stay informed and still find updates on faith, family, and freedom. How? Just text STAND to 67742 to sign up for our text alerts, and you will get FRC's content straight to your phone. Again, just text STAND to 67742, and you will get special alerts on the biggest stories of the day. You can stay informed with just a simple text. We want you to be able to stay connected with like-minded community and to always have access to our content. Stay connected and informed. Just text STAND to 67742.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday, Fox News learned that the Department of Health and Human Services is considering revoking the Office of Civil Rights Authority to prevent violations of religious liberty. Joining Tony to discuss the ramifications of this move going into effect is the former director of the HHS Office of Civil Rights, Roger Severino.
Now, Roger, welcome back to the program.
How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing well. So let's start right there. What does this mean in layman's terms? Break it down for us.
It is a full-scale retreat from protection for religious freedom at HHS. Now remember, HHS was the agency that hounded the Little Sisters of the Poor, threatened them with millions of dollars in fines for not providing contraceptive coverage for fellow nuns. They were protected by the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The Supreme Court recognized that protection. And when I was head of OCR, we said, this is a problem. This should never happen again. So we instituted reforms to make sure that law and the First Amendment would be institutionalized as a protection. We'd be our own watchdogs in HHS, just like every other civil right. We stood up a conscious religious freedom division with career professionals to police this right, and they are trying to shut this down and reverse it by stripping it of all their authorities. It is shameful.
So what we're seeing throughout this Biden administration is basically dismantling the firewall protection around religious freedom. But this change in particular in the Department of HHS, isn't this going against what Secretary Becerra promised during his confirmation hearing?
Oh, absolutely. He was a known quantity. He was my main antagonist when I was enforcing conscience laws twice. We found him to be the one responsible for violating the rights of pro-life pregnancy resource centers and also requiring universal abortion coverage, again, for nuns. He cost the state $200 million in Medicaid funds. And now he's the fox guarding the hen house. This is nothing more than retaliation against the same office that found him to be responsible for conscience violations. The irony is just extraordinary. He was a known quantity. Congress asked him about this multiple times, and he promised up and down that things wouldn't change, that he would respect conscience. And his actions to date have proven that to be absolutely false. And if he does this, he will formalize it and make it an exclamation point on the anti-religious regime that we now have in the White House and at HHS.
So, Roger, give us some examples. I know certainly the life issue that you pointed to, care pregnancy centers and other issues like that, but it's much further reaching than that. Let our listeners know just how significant this change is.
Sure. The RFRA is a federal law passed in 1993 with bipartisan support that says you cannot burden people's religious faith if you're the federal government. We use this to good effect to make sure that adoption agencies that are faith-based would have an equal seat at the table. They would not have to abandon their religious beliefs to partner with the federal government. We saw the Supreme Court take this case up recently and say, yes, you have a right as a religious organization to be in the adoption space and follow your beliefs about marriage. And we tried to institute that protection throughout, not just on the question of abortion or same-sex marriage or any of those. Any question of a burden on religion. You could be a minority religion, you could be Hindu, Muslim, you could be Native American on federal land that's being burdened by some federal regulation. We see that if the government does not pay attention to this, just like on civil rights, if you don't have a dedicated unit, then people's religious liberty is going to suffer no matter what your faith is.
So we could once again see the Little Sisters of the Poor in the crosshairs of the federal government.
Absolutely. What they're saying is, don't worry about it. We don't need to have any focus on it. We will abide by the law, which really means just go ahead and sue us, because that's what it was before.
Right.
They don't see that their obligation starts with the federal government to control itself. And that's what the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does. It says the government cannot, it is a burden on the government to not burden people's religious freedom unless they have a compelling government interest. We saw them try to do this with this sort of inquisitorial boards they were trying to set up in the Coast Guard on the COVID vaccine when it came to exemptions to the mandate for religious accommodation. If you don't have somebody with expertise looking over their shoulder, just like with every other civil right, those rights are going to be violated. But the Biden and the Becerra crew simply does not respect those rights. They're proven that they're going out of their way to take a gratuitous swipe at people of faith and try to exclude them by saying, you know what, sue us. That's the way you're going to defend your rights.
Wow, amazing. Roger Severino, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for filling us in on this breaking news. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. And don't forget to join us next week for the Pray Together for Life event as we pray for a challenge to Roe v. Wade. Find out more at praytogetherforlife.com or over at tonyperkins.com. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.